بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My dear audience, I greet you with the greeting of the people of paradise. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. My topic this evening is about something very interesting for every listener. It's about a story. Not just any story, but even something very intimate to our hearts, and something that all people love to hear about because it's about love. My topic today is about a love story. But first, let me talk about stories in general and how important these stories and how interesting they are for human beings. Stories, unlike other things, are important because they have beginning, they have sequence of events, they have the plot, they have the end, and they have some heroes where you usually sympathize and empathize with them. And this makes the story close to our hearts and minds, of course, to our emotions rather than our reasoning. And you would find almost everybody loves stories, especially kids, and especially women, and especially all people, usually, they love to hear stories and to watch movies and to read stories. But this story is so unique. Not so unique because of its content, but it's so unique because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the world, praised this story as He praised other stories. He said that this is a so beautiful story. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم نحن نقص عليك أحسن القصص بما أوحينا إليك هذا القرآن. Allah is talking about Himself in the plural form by saying we. This is known in English as the royal we. We relate stories to you, Muhammad. We relate the best stories to you by revealing this Quran to you. That means the stories that are mentioned in the Quran are the most beautiful and the best stories that you can ever learn. And here is the importance. It's very important to teach our kids, young ones, stories in early stages, because, as I said, that they sympathize and empathize with the hearers, and in this way they would love the hero of the story. And most of the hearers of these stories are the messengers of Allah and are good people usually. These stories usually stir human emotions and makes him or makes her think of it and try to follow that, because sometimes it touches something in our life, if not more than one thing. But this story is a love story, but unfortunately, it's a one-sided love. It's a love from one part, and there is no interaction from the other part. It's a love, it's a story of a woman who loved her servant or her slave so much that she could not kick out his love from her heart, that she tried to trap him and to plot against him and to seize every opportunity that she can be alone with him, forgetting that, of course, the Satan will be the third party with him. She was such a beautiful woman, a powerful woman, that was married to a king. However, her love for the other person, for the slave, outweighed the love for her husband, because he was a very beautiful, handsome person that had never been known in history before or after. This is the story of the wife of Al-Aziz of Egypt when she loved her slave Yusuf alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, because he used to serve in the palace of the king. And this beautiful, powerful woman, she traced him, she chased him, until she trapped him in her room. And the major sin was about to fall between them. Let me now talk about the challenges or the scenarios that happened and had effect and had all types of temptations that would trap a person like him. And while I'm doing this, I want to apply this to our life and to see how much of these temptations that we confront and how many of these temptations we confront in our life, and how, the most important thing, how to avoid falling into this sin. First, the factors that were affecting Yusuf alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, the most beautiful human being on the earth to the best of our knowledge. The first thing, he was a young person, full of energy and full of power as any young person, and who wants usually to fulfill this energy from his body like any human being. This was the first challenge. The second challenge that he confronted, and these will fall under internal challenges. I'll talk about these challenges. I will put them in two categories. The first category is the internal challenges, and the second category is the external challenges. The internal challenge, as I mentioned, the first one, when he was young. The second one, he was a single, unmarried person. So he did not really, what does it mean to be a married person, or to make sex, or to fulfill his desire. This was something absent from him, and he probably heard about it from other people, and he probably have noticed how beautiful it sounded from their voices, but he didn't know what really it means. And this is another challenge that invites people and stirs people to explore something that is unknown to them. He was in that situation. He was a single and unmarried person. Thirdly, he was a charming person. He was so handsome that every human being, when he or she, especially she, sees him, she would make a comment. She would praise him. And all of us know the effect of these words on the human heart. When you hear these words, that this is a very nice person, this is a handsome, charming, how beautiful his eyes are, and all these words would affect the heart of the human being to the degree that he wants to know the meaning of these beautiful things, because these are just words, and they cannot be really tasted or tested unless the sexual intercourse happens. And this was another source of temptation for him. So sometimes, and we have to look at this, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants a human being a blessing. And this blessing can be a source of tests and a source of tribulation and a source of fitness for him or for her. One example is the beauty. Another example is to be wealthy. A third example, to be smart. A fourth example, to be very well educated. Although these things are beautiful blessings from Allah, but at the same time, they work as sources of tests and tribulations. So this was another test for Prophet Yusuf alayhi salam. Number four, he was a slave. And the slave person, or a slave person, usually does not behave as a free man who has free will to take his decision. A slave person usually takes commands and fulfill these commands and listens and obeys. That's why he's a slave. He doesn't have the free will that human beings have. In other words, when he was commanded by his mistress, the wife of Al-Aziz, and there's something very beautiful in the Quran. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about this story, he mentioned the name of Yusuf, who was the innocent person who didn't do anything that's bad or evil. He mentioned his name, whereas he did not mention the name of this woman. Unfortunately, when we see what happens in the media nowadays and on the TV and on the radios and on the newspapers, when something happens, we know the story of the girl that was playing with Mr. Clinton, Monica Lewinsky, and how her story was spread all over the whole world, and how her name was defamed. And this is how people would live away from the divine guidance, whereas we in Islam, we know that this is a very sensitive issue. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kept the name of this woman secret, and nobody knows her name because she was guilty of that. Had we known this name, you would find all the people in the world who carry this name would feel guilty because they carried this name, although they didn't really do anything. But this is something really shows us the etiquette of the Quran and the etiquette of how Muslims should behave in these situations. So he was a slave under the pressure of following the command of his mistress. Next, he was in a foreign land. He was not in his land. He didn't have his relatives. He didn't have his friends. He didn't have his neighbors around him. And this was another pressure. When you go away from your homeland, you have the feeling that you are safe. The people here don't know you. And now the temptation of the Satan would be stronger and more effective upon you because nobody knows you in this area. And this happens to people usually who travel. Usually the shaitan would come to them and nobody knows you and nobody will tell your parents, nobody, you will still be respected in you. And one of the ways, by the way, they do it nowadays in hotels, they would ask you to use the one of the movies, and they say that the name of the movie would not show on your bill. This is another tempting way of another satanic way of human beings that they do to trap human being, other human beings to fall into the sin. So he was in a foreign land and he had this pressure and this challenge on him. Number 7 or 8, he was desperate. He knew no family. He was away from his family, even if he knew his father, but he was in a way, he didn't know the land that he was in, and he didn't know how to go back. And usually when a person, a human being, is in a desperate situation, he is liable and he's subject to do major sins. And anything, he is willing to do anything, as we know that. Most people who commit suicide are people who are desperate. He was in that situation, and he was still invited to make this sin. And not only that, he was chased continuously, not one time, not a second time, a third time, day after day, or every moment and every opportunity was seized to chase him. And if he resisted for the first time, the resistance will weaken the second time and will weaken the third time, and after that he will become ready to and willing to do what he was commanded to do. These are the first group of challenges that were described as internal challenges or internal factors that affected Yusuf alayhi salam, the messenger of Allah, in this situation. Let's move to the second category of external challenges. First, she made multiple initiations. The beautiful woman made many initiations, one after another, after the third, the fourth. She made many initiations, and usually, as I mentioned earlier, if you resist the first one, you might be trapped in the second one, unless you are very determined and very decisive and very dependable and have tawakkul upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, she was married and she was not single. In other words, she was an experienced woman, and nobody would notice that she lost her virginity because she was already married, as lots of people do that. And the Satan would come to a human being, to come to prophets of Allah and whisper to them with these whispers. Since she was a married woman, she's not single, nobody will observe or notice that she lost her virginity. This was another type of challenge and test for Yusuf alayhi salam to resist. A third challenge was that she was a beautiful woman. She was not just a normal woman. She was the woman, the wife of the king, very well-selected woman, and very smart and charming and beautiful woman. So again, not just any woman, but a beautiful one. And the fourth challenge, that she was in her palace. In other words, she knew the weak points and the strong points. She knew when her husband comes and when he goes out. And she knows the doors and the rooms that are much safer than other rooms. She knows every piece of her palace. And this gives a new dimension to the challenges that we're confronted. The dimension of safety and being secured that you will not be discovered. And you will not, and the crime or this major sin will not be discovered by other people. And another challenge in this beautiful story is that she was a powerful woman. What does this mean? He can be granted his freedom. And you know that every slave is seeking an opportunity to be a free person. So just by making this sin, he would be set free. Try to imagine what a price that he would take after doing this test, although this test is a beautiful thing that the shaitan decrees for human beings. So he would get double things at the same time. He would get a worldly benefit, a worldly reward that he can be set free, and he gets, of course, the desire, and he fulfills his desire. So he gets two things because she was a powerful person. And remember the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that warned us against this situation. Such a beautiful hadith that when he talked, I hope to make a separate lecture about it, that when he talked about seven people that will be shaded by the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. One of those seven people is that a person who was invited by a powerful, beautiful woman and he resisted. And he said, I fear Allah. This was represented in Yusuf alayhi salam. So he had this opportunity of doing one major sin, a thing that Allah might forgive if he wills. But he would get double benefits, double rewards, the reward of getting being free and the reward of enjoying this lust. And one other challenge was that all the doors were locked. And this was said in the Quran in such a beautiful word that no other language can carry this meaning. The Quran said, وَغَلَّقَتِ الْأَبْوَابِ. And she perfectly closed all the doors. And this linguistic feature here, which is the shadda on the lam, غلقت, not أغلقت. No, that means she secured and she locked all the doors. Not one door, not the other door, not the third door. All the doors were locked. That means he was totally secured and the king would never know anything about him. And not only that, she spelled it out and she said it. وقالت هيت لك I am ready for you. Don't take it from my my tongue like that, because she was a woman. And you know how women can use their beautiful voices and would say these words in a very beautiful way that would affect the heart of even the heart of a stone. وَقَالَتْ هَيْتَ لَكَ I am ready for you. And probably the Quran did not get into the details of probably all the things that a woman like her would do in this situation. But the most, with all these challenges, the most important challenge was that the combination of all these 15 or 16 challenges together. Any one of us can resist one or two or three, but he was in a situation to resist approximately 16 or more challenges. Some of them are internal, which is very difficult to resist, and some of them are external, which is, relatively speaking, you can resist. But this was the situation and the scenario that is the most important thing in this story. Of course, as we know, Yusuf alayhi salam resisted all this temptation by using a miraculous word, which is Ma'adallah. Ma'adallah. He said that I take refuge with Allah. This miraculous word saved him from falling into this sinful act that lots of people, unfortunately, do not pay attention to what punishment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for those who do this major sin. But here, although this word may sound easy to some of us when we say Ma'adallah, it's not easy to recall. Don't think that when you are trapped by this, it can easily be said. No. When you are in these critical times, it's not easy to recall such a simple word, Ma'adallah. But to be ready for it, to restore it very easily, you should always keep your tongue vivid with it. If you lose it for a long time, it becomes difficult for you to restore it. In other words, every day, every minute you see something that's bad, teach yourself and coach your tongue to say, Ma'adallah, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim. If you keep training yourself doing this, so when you are in a critical situation, you can easily restore this. So you need to coach yourself, and no wonder that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to say, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan ar-rajim, tens of times and hundreds of times every day. Whenever you have an opportunity to say it, say it. And in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be beside you. When you want to restore this word, He will help you remember it. Now, let's go into other ways how to save ourselves from falling into this situation, which is called a love story, which is not really a love story. It's a story that makes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hate you and will make you hate yourself when you do such and you commit such a sin. First, to save ourselves from falling into this sin is to remember Allah as much as you can. Whenever you are alone, either you read the Quran or you listen to the Quran, put some tapes in your car, put some tapes and CDs on your computer. So whenever you travel, you have the opportunity just to play the Quran and listen to it. Try to mention the name of Allah with all the adhkar that had been mentioned by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, 100 times in the morning, 100 times in the evening. You keep your tongue wet, and you activate your tongue and you activate your mind by these beautiful mention of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second is teach yourself how to lower your gaze. Don't look things and say that after I look, I can work on the internal effects. No. The best way is, as every doctor usually advises, prevention is better than cure. To prevent the arrow that would come to your heart after seeing a scene, the only way is to lower your gaze and not to look into things, because you cannot guarantee, you cannot prevent the effect of these arrows of the Satan that would come to your heart. A third thing is keeping the company of good people. Each one of us has some leisure time. Don't spend leisure time with bad people. Keep company of good people. Whenever you have time, even when you call, don't call bad people. Call good people. Talk about issues that are important for every Muslim. Talk about what's happening in the Islamic world. Talk about your understanding of a verse in the Quran. Talk about a khutbah that you heard and you loved it. Say that I am going to email some of these things to other people. This is the way to spend your time in good ways, not only with good people, but at the same time making da'wah. Number four, and which is probably the most important, doing your prayer persistently and constantly and consistently. Because one of the things that we acquire is by doing the prayer on time, punctually, continuously, without having breaks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us acquire the ability to resist the falsehood and the ability to resist the traps of the Satan and the ability to resist all these types of evils. So, al-mudawama ala salah, doing the prayer continuously on time, is something that would help us fight the Satan. And last thing that I probably mentioned during this is all the time take refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Don't depend on yourself. Don't say that I can control myself, as some people do. And one of the best ways and the best advice that I can give to young people and to parents in particular is to help their kids marry as early as possible and to listen attentively to the advice of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. من استطاع منكم الباءة فليتزوج. Whoever is capable of marrying, let him marry. ومن لم يستطع فعليه بالصوم. If you cannot afford marrying, fast, because this fast works as a protection for you from falling into sins. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. ممدوح نور الدين.